Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Art of Joyful Living. Today's sermon title, The Joyful Life. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, and let's begin.
Our dear Heavenly Father, I know that you are a God who is generous. I know that it's in your personhood to be happy in generosity. You don't begrudge us the kindness you show. You don't begrudge us the grace, the forgiveness. And I pray that something of your character could rub off on us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I suppose you're like me and you watched every day while those 12 boys and their coach were trapped in the Tham Lang caves in Thailand. It was the first thing I checked every morning. I was terrified that those kids were going to die in that cave. When I saw the diagram and what it would take to get out, I thought, there's no way they're going to save those boys. And as the days went by I learned that it took 6 hours to get out of the cave from where they were. I just found myself whispering a prayer to God. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. And then I saw they got 2 boys out. And the next thing, it was 4 boys. And the next thing, they were all out. I saw pictures of the boys coming out of the caves and putting them in ambulances and taking them to the hospital. And it really was a miracle that they got those boys out. Now, I wonder if you have the imagination to see a government accountant figuring out how much it took, how much it cost to rescue those boys. Dividing that bill up by 13 and then going to the hospital where these boys and the coach are and handing them the bill for their rescue. Nobody can even imagine that, can we? We simply say, it was a necessary thing to do, and as a culture, we'll figure out how to pay for it. And all of us think that's right, don't we? Nobody here would give those boys a bill, would you? If you were, you scare me. But what if I were to say to you, there are people all around you who are trapped. They're trapped by life. They're not down in a cave, but they are trapped by life. And what they need is the same generous heart in you that the world showed in rescuing those boys. There are people all around you who can't find their way forward unless you're willing to be generous with your time, your energy, your resources, your talents. But somehow or another, it feels different, doesn't it? It's more dramatic when the boys are in the cave. But it's no less true that there are people in your life right now that are trapped, and they're not going anywhere forward in life unless it makes sense to you to live a more generous life than you're living. Show more love, more kindness, more forgiveness, more service, and be a blessing. Now, I don't want that to annoy you, because The text we're looking at this morning says, in this great living out of our faith, in this great expression of Christian generosity, each one of us has to do as we purpose in our heart. It shouldn't be as if we're suffering, and no one should feel compelled, because God likes a cheerful giver. I wonder if you can see this same scenario with the boys. I wonder if you can see the divers who first got there and they said, just start scolding the boys. You idiots, what are you doing in this cave? What were you thinking? Another person goes over and slaps the coach a couple of times. How dare you risk these boys' lives? And they get the boys out and their mom's there with the kitchen spoon and swatting them on the butt for getting lost in the cave. And saying, you better never do that again. We can't even imagine that, can we? But somehow or another in our lives, it makes sense to be angry and scold the people who need our love, our kindness, our generosity. It makes sense to say, they got themselves into this problem, let them get themselves out. Church. But Christ is asking something different from us. Let's look at this text. See, it first of all makes us all look at what is the purpose of my life. What is the purpose of my life? Let each one do just as they have purposed in their heart. See, if you're going to really live this generous life, you got to have a generous life purpose. I'm telling you, when I read articles about getting those boys out, they had plans, they had strategies, they had timetables, they had an agenda. They just didn't wander in there and rescue them. They were working on a purposeful plan. And if we're going to be effective in really helping people come to Christ and move forward in life, it's got to be part of our life purpose. It can't be an accident or a mistake. Do you see? We got to make it part of our plan. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart. This word is very unique. This is the only time it's used in the whole Greek New Testament. And it really means to take up before. So you take up a cause. You take up an idea. You take up a purpose before you have to act. It is a commitment you make ahead of time so that when life is lived out, you've already taken that purpose, you've already taken that cause, and it's just part of how you live your life. Some of you say, well, Doc, I really don't know what my purpose is, all right? Let me get you started. A lawyer once said to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing a person can do? And Jesus said, that's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is just like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right. Every Christian, it should be your purpose to love God. If you are a Christian, it's your life purpose to show your love for God. You can show your love for God in your emotional nature. When the band was singing that last song, I'm Only Going Home, in my heart, I felt love for God. Someday I'm going home to see my Savior. I felt an emotional love for God. But he also said, It's got to be more than just a good emotional feeling that you get on Sunday morning when the band does a great song. It's got to be more than that. You got to make it your purpose to love God with your soul, your psyche, your personhood, your life energy. When you go to work on Monday, do you go to work with a sense of, I'm going to show my love for God in how I use my energy today? I'm going to treat people in the kind of way that God knows I love him. Is it part of your purpose? You have to love him with your mind, church. That's why I offer some hard stuff here. I want you to begin to learn to love God with your mind. Christianity is a thinking person's religion. The rituals are not enough. Jesus himself said that. And do you love him with your strength? What are the strengths of your life? Have you ever said, dear God, it's my purpose to generously invest my life strengths in loving you? Do you see, church? Your life purpose is an expression of how you show your love for God in your home, in your workplace, in your friends, in your community. I guarantee you, yesterday, we showed our community we love God in a way very different than a lot of other Christians. And then Jesus said, it should be part of your purpose of life to love people. Now, let me ask you this. Can you love somebody and not be generous with them? Isn't generosity part of how we express love? Can you imagine what would happen at my house if it was our anniversary and I said to my wife, all right, it's our anniversary. I'll take you out for dinner. Wasting money. I don't know about your house, but it would not be fun where I live. It would be a foolish thing to do. Right? Because love means generosity. So when Christ says it should be part of your purpose of life to love people the way you love yourself, he's saying there should be a certain joyfulness in your life that you have the opportunity to share some time with someone, to share some energy with someone, to share a resource with someone. Because it's part of your life purpose. Now, could I ask you this? If you had to write 3 or 4 sentences to answer this question, what would you write? How is loving God generously part of your life purpose? If I had to ask you specifically write 2 or 3 sentences, loving God generously looks like this in my life, what might you write? How is loving people generously part of your life purpose? What would you write in answer to that question? See, each one of us must have our own purpose. Nobody can do this for you. The apostle says, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart. Do you have a purpose in your heart to love God generously and to love people generously? Or do you have purposes that compete with that and you say, I can't be generous with God because if I do, it'll take this out of my life. I can't be generous with people because I want this, this, and this. Are you with me, church? Anybody following me here? You see, the purpose requires mind and heart, a plan and passion. Do you know what I find about this? The more I live this way, the more I like it. The more I look forward to it. It becomes one of the greatest sources of joy in my life. It just works that way. I'm sorry I can't tell you how, but here's what I know. The more generously I love God, the better life I live. The more generous I am with people, the more I enjoy life. The tighter I am, the more selfish I am, the more greedy I am, the more needy I am, the less I enjoy life. Now, Paul offered two checks. He said, check your heart on this. The first heart check, get over your martyr complex. Oh, how I'm suffering for Jesus. Nobody else has to do this, but I'm a Christian, so I guess I'll just suffer through it. Poor you. Look, if you really feel that way, don't do it. If you think God is needy, you misunderstand him. If you think God is so needy, he has to make you suffer for his agenda to work in the world, you've misunderstood the boss real bad. This is our opportunity to invest in his good business. This isn't him depleting us to run his agenda. So Paul says, do a heart check. Get over your martyr complex. You're not suffering to love God generously and to love people generously. You're blessed if you do it. Then he said, do a heart check and get your heart in a place where you want to do it. You don't feel forced to do it. Keep working on your heart until you go, yes. I want to offer another check. Would you let me? I'm not saying Paul didn't get this right, but I just want to add one more. How about the hypocrisy check? Some people are as generous as they get credit for. And where the credit ends, their generosity ends. You know people like that? As long as they get a little star by their name, as long as they get a little video showing what a wonderful person they are, they're all in. But if there's no star by their name and there's no video running, there's no generosity in their life. That's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. Max Lucado wrote a great book. It's called Outlive Your Life. And in this book, he has a chapter where he's dealing with hypocrisy. Max says the word hypocrisy is the word at the time of Christ for actor. So some of you know the makeup of my family. And when we're taking family photos, if somebody goes a little overboard in posing for the photo, we all start pointing a finger at them and calling them poser. You're a poser. Or you see the picture and they're just a little too much. And we all start going, poser, poser. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. And Christ warns about hypocrisy. Now listen to what Max says. Let's take hypocrisy as seriously as God does. How can we do that? One, expect no credit for good deeds. If you say, I did all these good things, and then nobody cared or nobody was responded the way I want, you've missed the point. You weren't buying somebody's appreciation with your generosity. Do you get it? If you were, it's not generosity. It's a payment. You made a payment and you expected a product in return. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about quid pro quo generosity. We're talking about generosity that says, I'm doing... Picture's worth a thousand words. Two. Can you give a financial gift in secret? Can you bless somebody economically secretly? Three. Don't fake spirituality. Do you know some people, they're cloying. They're so spiritual, it gags me. Okay, maybe I need to get right with God. But come on, do you know the type? I don't think they even walk. They just levitate. Max is right. Let's, in living out our purpose to love God generously and to love people generously, let's let go of the hypocrisy. Let's do it because it's virtue, because it's honor, because it's decent. Because it's the reason God blessed us so much to begin with, so we could be a blessing to others. And then the text says to us, God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is actually the word we get hilarios from. Our word hilarious comes from this Greek word. But we kind of made it mean something else. It doesn't mean God loves a funny giver. You can tell a good joke every time you do something nice. That's not what it means. It means a quality of soul where you're actually enjoying what you're doing. God loves people who enjoy being generous. He recognizes them because God himself is generous. Do you get this? He causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He's generous. God has been generous with everyone in this room. I am alive today because of the generosity of God. My life is full of junk because of the generosity of God. I have an awesome family because of the generosity of God. I have great friends because of the generosity of God. I have a wonderful job because of the generosity of God. I'm going to the Indians game after church today because of the generosity of God. I mean, I just look around at my life and all I see is God going out of his way to be nice to me. And God said, it makes him happy for his kids to be like him. Parents, don't you like to see the best stuff in yourself, of yourself in your kids? Now, I don't like to see my worst self in my kids, but thank God, God doesn't have a worst self. Isn't there something good about seeing something of the best of who you are in your kids? Well, God says he likes to see something of the best of who he is in us. And every time he sees us being generous, he goes, I love it. I love it. My kids are growing up to be like me. Church. Listen to what Maya Angelou said. When we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. That could have been a verse in the Bible. Way to go, Maya. When we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, everyone is blessed. If you let me, I'm just going to take cheerful out. I'm just going to read this sentence without cheerful. God loves a giver. God loves a giver. Adam Grant is a business consultant. He makes a ton of money because he's a psychologist and he goes in businesses and he helps them figure out where they're whacked. And one of his key ideas that he studies in every business is, in this business, how many givers are there and how many takers? And this in a business way, this is how he defines it. If you're a taker, your first question is always, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? If you're a giver, your first question is, how can I help? All right, put yourself in the workplace. Why do I have to do this? Or, how can I help? See, one is a giver mentality, the other is a taker mentality. I'm only at work to do the least I have to do and get the most I can get. That's the taker mentality. The giver mentality is, what can I do to help? How can I make this place better? How can I do my job in the kind of way that it's easier for everybody around me? How can I make this company thrive? Do you see? Giver mentality, taker mentality. God loves a giver. When you're in the workplace, tomorrow when you go to work, Tuesday when it gets hard at work, Thursday when you don't feel appreciated, you have to have a purpose in your heart. You've already purposed in your heart. No matter what other people do, no matter how other people respond, no matter what their attitude is, I am a generous lover of God, and I am a generous lover of people, and I am a giver in my life mentality. What can I do to help? Church, you have that purpose in your heart. You are going to be a bright and shining light in a dark world. You have the taker mentality. No matter how many verses from the Bible you can quote, and no matter how religious you come off, you're not helping the cause of God in our generation. Church, you get me? Are we clear? God loves a giver mentality. He loves it. He loves a giver mentality in your home. Not my turn. It's not my turn. Let them do it. That's not a giver mentality, church. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? There's a giver mentality. Do you have a mentality at home? What can I do to help? Or is your mentality, I'm way ahead of that other person, and until that loser catches up, they can't expect much more from me? Huh? Some of you recognize that little voice. You've heard that voice speak to you. Church, God loves a giver. So in all of Adam Grant's studies, here's what he finds. Companies that make the environment good for givers do statistically better than companies that make an environment that's equal for giver and takers. Do you hear that? Here's what science proves. Companies do better where the employees share a giver mentality. They do worse where the mentality is split between givers and takers. And if it's all takers, companies don't make it. They put you out of business. All right, listen to what God says. I love a giver mentality. It makes everything better. It makes home better. It makes work better. It makes friendships better. It makes things work in life that wouldn't otherwise work. People get help who needed help. Now, some of you might be saying, you know, Doc, how far does this have to go? It sounds to me like this could all be very intrusive. Where do I get to draw the line? Well, there was a man named Sergeant Salmon Kunin. I bet not many of you recognize his name. He was one of the divers that were helping the boys get out of the cave. He was taking oxygen tanks into the cave that the boys would have to get out. And as he was swimming out, he ran out of oxygen. He's the only one to die in the whole thing. And he was a man who had SEAL training. How far did he take generosity in rescuing 12 boys and a coach that he didn't even know? I'll tell you how far he took it. He took it to his very last breath. And I read an article that said the people who knew him say that's just the kind of guy he was. The people who knew him said, I'm not surprised that happened. That's just the kind of man he was. You know what they're saying? We have seen a purpose in his life, and it doesn't surprise us that this happened. He was simply living out his life purpose. Can you hear this, church? The man is a genuine hero. He had a purpose that was so strong, it was stronger than any other issue in his life. And the people who knew him said he would have said it was worth it. Let each one of us figure out what we really mean by life and a Christian life. And then let us decide that we're going to be generous in our love for God. And we're going to be generous in our love for people. And we're going to be givers in our home. We're going to be givers in our workplace. We're going to be givers in our friendship. We're going to be givers in our community. We're going to be givers in our church, because God loves the giver impulse in our hearts. And then we're going to whisper little prayers that say, Dear Father, you promised, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and overflowing. Because God is the greatest giver of them all. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we could make a better purpose in our hearts. I pray that we could make a better purpose in our hearts. I pray that we would love you more generously than we've ever loved you. I pray that we could love people more generously than we've ever loved people. I pray that the first question we would always ask ourselves is, how can I help? And then I pray that you would be pleased and delighted in our hearts, and you would bless us as only a generous God can bless. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.